It's the Score North Twin Show.
I think this is enough for the breaking news sounder here. I think the notebook was posted last night, but kind of buried, so we'll bring it to the top of our podcast here, the Score North Twin Show. This is the State of the Twins Monday edition, and we'll go through some different categories and ask questions. But according to The Athletic's Aaron Gleeman, Brooks Lee has been diagnosed with a herniated disc and is being treated by California spine and back specialist Dr. Robert G. Watkins, who's worked with numerous MLB, NFL, NBA, NHL teams, and is perhaps best known in the sports world for performing the back surgery on Rob Gronkowski back in 2013. According to a team source briefed on the situation, Lee is about 3 weeks into a two-month rehab plan. There's optimism within the organization he'll be able to resume playing sometime this season. Initially, we were thinking, oh, he's going to be out for like a couple weeks, and then if something goes haywire, you can just call him right up, but wah, wah. Dex, what can you add to that buzzkill news to start this week for the Twins?
Yeah, so over the weekend, we talked to Nick Paparesta in the clubhouse on Saturday because, I mean, not just Brooks Lee. You know, there's Royce Lewis. Correa's hurt. There's updates on Justin Topa. There's updates on Max Kepler. Daniel Duarte is out for the season. So there was just a litany of guys. And instead of having Rocco or Falvey do that, they brought over the trainer. And he just basically goes down a rundown of all of those injuries.
Jeez.
And about midway through, it was kind of broached by Audra that, hey, Aaron wanted an update on Brooks Lee. And then they basically said, we can't comment on that at this time. We don't have anything to add, which to me was even more alarming because it was like, we can't comment on it yet. Like that to me is scary. So I even checked in with two sources over the weekend, two external things, trying to dig a little bit more too. And I got the same answer. I got no comment, which again, just told me like, okay, this is bad. Like something's coming here that they aren't ready to announce quite yet. Obviously, yeah. Aaron's able to get some information to follow up on this. But yeah, Brooks Lee being out with a herniated disc, that is just a huge, again, buzz killington to this twin season.
This is awful news too, because this is not necessarily a short-term thing. Like, you know, you pull a muscle, it can recover. But I mean, this could mean a lot of things. This could mean that they're going to, for now, proceed with treatment and see how that works. But if that doesn't work, it can lead to surgery. I mean, my God, this franchise, Byron Buxton, Royce Lewis, Brooks Lee now, it's unbelievable. And it always seems like it's something significant, right? Like Royce tore his ACL twice. So yeah, this is just terrible news. It's terrible news because we don't know where it's going to go. And I mean, there's a very good case to be made that he would have been up here by now. Like with the way this team is playing, with certainly some of the veterans struggling, that Brooks Lee would be here right now playing somewhere. So yeah. Just another punch in the gut for Twins fans.
Yeah. Well, that might be a good segue into the state of the Twins here. I'll give you the overview and then we can do a vibe check and some different questions. But the Twins are 7-13 going into the second leg of this homestand. They're in fourth place in the American League Central, 8 games out already, 28th in runs scored per game, 23rd in runs allowed per game. Nothing's going well. But they still have, according to Baseball Reference, a 58% chance to make the playoffs. They're still projected, according to this, to win 85 games and get things turned around. I think this is assuming that Royce Lewis is back at some point and Carlos Correa, you know, one of the best left side of the infield in the entire league. But the fact that they still have a 58% chance to make the playoffs is way higher than I would have thought looking at some of these websites. So fill in the blank. Twins vibes are blank right now.
Grim. The vibes are grim. Saturday was a decent clubhouse because they won a baseball game, right? First time they won a game in a week, basically. And things were kind of on the up and up, and you kind of thought, okay, a pendulum could swing here if you get your first series win since the opener against Kansas City. You got the lowly White Sox coming to town, and then yesterday, within the first inning, Louis Varland can't throw a strike, and you're down 2-0. and then you're down 4-0, and you went into that clubhouse. Judd actually came to the ballpark yesterday as well, and it was a gloomy, weird vibe in there. We saw Julian and Farmer working in the cage. Carlos Correa also like watching and giving advice in the cage. In the back corner of the locker room, you had this circle between Buxton, Larnick, and Royce Lewis, kind of like talking about swing timing and all these certain things. So a lot of guys trying to try to correct what's going on here and make adjustments, obviously. But I would say grim, because this was a chance to get, and I know just like you look at it in the totality, well, it's just one game. Well, no, if they had won this series for their first series in 3 weeks, and then you had the White Sox coming to town, I do think there's a huge vibe that starts to swing the other way. It wouldn't be grim, but with the way the season has started, grim. I think that's the best way to describe it.
Twins vibes are blank, Judd.
Befuddled. It feels like there's no answers from Rocco, on down. It feels like this team is searching, but nobody really knows. And if it also feels like if anybody wants to make a move, it's not happening yet. And the clock is ticking here. I understand some key guys are out. Okay. I totally get that, but that's not an excuse for, well, then I guess we're just screwed. And it just feels like everybody from the fact that Varland literally told Baldelli after the first yesterday, my arm feels good. I just can't control where the ball is going to the performance, the plate bases.
That's almost worse, by the way.
Well, it's sort of scary because it's like, hold on a second here. That's the problem. But anyway, they come back after Varland gives up two runs in the first. The Twins load the bases. So, like, Casey Mize is starting to scuffle himself, and this is where you go up 3-2, right? You don't look back. Yeah. Instead, they leave the bases full. It just feels like befuddled because nobody has any answers. And like Dex said, you see guys immediately post-game go in the cage, not to just work on small stuff, but because they're literally trying to figure it out. Befuddled is the word.
Befuddled. Adjective. Perplexed by many conflicting situations or statements, filled with bewilderment.
Wow. Yeah, that's the Twins.
In fact, the bewilderments.
In fact, here are some synonyms for befuddled. At sea. You're just out at sea.
Like the Twins right now. On a life raft.
Baffled, bemused, bewildered, confounded, confused, lost, mazed, mixed up, perplexed. Full of difficulty, confusion, or bewilderment.
Ladies and gentlemen, your 2024 Twins.
Let me get a new slogan.
It's like the Sesame Street word of the day.
Yep. Today's word is
befuddled. Yeah. Okay. I would say the vibes are 2011-esque. I covered the 2011 Twins after covering the 2010 Twins. And there's still time, by the way. And I will say this. The 2011 Twins, weirdest team in Twins history. They finished with 99 losses, but for a two-month stretch, smack dab in the middle, they were like the best team in baseball. They had the best record in baseball from like June 3rd through like August 2nd or something. And then they lost every game. And it was injuries. The similarities are pretty incredible. You're coming off a really exciting season with vibes. Target Field was new at the time. You make the playoffs, but now you're going to take the step forward the next year. And all of your key players get hurt. Your Royce Lewis's, your Joe Mauer's, your Justin Morneau's, your Carlos Correa's. And you're running out minor league players that probably have no business. Your rotation is pretty top heavy. In 2011, they didn't need to use that many starting pitchers. They just were ineffective and stayed in the rotation. But where injuries and general malaise buzzkill your season.
Yep.
That's what happened in 2011.
At least you didn't say 2016.
Well, but 2011 was the start of many dark years. They jumped right back after 2016.
But they gave you a t-shirt.
Well, I gave you a t-shirt.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But it gave you
They didn't give us anything. We gave the fans a t-shirt.
Gave us total system failure on May 1st.
Oh, I thought you were talking about 2011.
No, I'm saying both years gave us t-shirts. but you came up with the 2011 one, which was far more fun than Total System Failure in 2016. After
Total System Failure was a good one. That's a good slogan.
But I mean, at least you had fun on your show for a little bit. It's, if Declan can get a 2 month ray of sunshine, he'll probably take it right now.
I would 100% take it. Yeah, the four worst seasons in Target Field history. I went and looked back at this through 19 games at least.
Saw your tweet.
So 2016, they started 5-14. 2012, they started 5-14. 2011, they actually started 7-12, the exact same record as this year's Twins.
There you go.
All of those teams went on to lose at least 96 games.
Dude, that's rough. They need guys back ASAP. In fact, do you want to do the Royce Lewis update here, or do you want to put it in one of these categories, Declan?
I can give it here. Yeah.
Because that might be a ray of sunshine here. Like, they need guys like that back very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. And it's so weird because, like, you watch, like, just watching Royce in the clubhouse, even, like, that cool little hitting, like, seminar that was basically taking place between him, Buck, and Larnick, and just the way he carries himself, I wouldn't assume that the guy has, like, a quad strain, especially a grade 2 significant quad strain. But, yeah, speaking, again, to Paparesta on Saturday, they basically said that he is progressing very nicely here. So he was able to take some hits off a tee. He even stood in on the bullpen session for Justin Topa, who's also hopefully getting on track to get back here. He's probably going to do another bullpen session and a live BP before a rehab assignment, but he was able to at least somewhat see live pitching. He's begun what's called, you know, baseball activities. So he's heading in the right direction. That is good news. I would still wager June 1st at the earliest for a Royce Lewis return. I wouldn't say like all of a sudden now we're progressing ahead of schedule, and they were very cautious on that too. But they're going to start doing base running progressions too next week. So some base running stuff, which is obviously pretty big with that quad, because you can sit there and swing a bat to a degree, but can you run, which is obviously how Royce Lewis hurt the thing. So heading in the right direction. So yeah, some positive news on Royce Lewis at least.
Okay. Yeah. June 1st would be a great scenario, I feel like. Because initially they said May 1st for the evaluation. So if they're kind of a week ahead of, I mean, obviously they've done an evaluation if he's hitting off a tee and going to do some other scheduled stuff.
And Correa, a week out from starting activities, is that right, Dex?
Yeah, he's going to start swinging. I think this week will start swinging at least. Correa is also the type of dude that would decline a rehab assignment. So, which is good.
I'm fine with that, actually. Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't waste any bullets.
Yeah. I mean, forget the plate, but when you watch Castro play short, it's just a I really think that we've spent Correa's time here taking for granted how special this guy is in the field.
Yeah. It's one of those things where you don't notice it sometimes because he's just, he made a play and then he throws it over and you don't until he's gone and somebody else is over there trying to make similar plays and can't.
Yes.
Then you start to appreciate it more. Okay. Before we get to the category questions here, a couple things. If you haven't already, be checking out Declan's extra innings episode. He's pumping these out from Target Field on a regular basis, pumping them out during the road trips as well. And you can find those in the same exact place you find this podcast, Apple, Spotify, and the brand new Score North Twin Show YouTube channel. So click the like button and the subscribe button, please, and help us continue to grow this platform. We have committed to the Twins. Now they need to commit to us. Dang it. Start winning some games. If you're in town for a Twins game, there's a great hotel just a few steps down from the left field entrance, the Element Hotel, Declan.
Yeah, the Element Hotel, which is, by the way, a Westin Hotel by Marriott. So this is a good little quality hotel. It's positioned right there in the North Loop and a great staycation for a Twins game, or just, you know, to check out the North Loop too. If you maybe it may be a pass on a Twins game, but you could also at the same time still go check out all the great restaurants and happenings in the North Loop area. It's got a complimentary breakfast. It has a 24-hour fitness center. It's got free Wi-Fi. It's also pet friendly too. So you can go to the Element Hotel. You can go to element-hotels.marriott. Tell them Score North sent you. Yeah, just steps away from Target Field and also right in the heart there of the North Loop in Minneapolis.
Yeah. Our friends at
might want to go.
What's that,
Stella
John?
Would love that. Said Stella would love a day in the, like a spa day for the dog.
There you go. Yeah.
Might have to do that.
Okay. Sounds good. Let's get Stella down there. Dennis Kirk, our friends at Dennis Kirk are here for baseball season 2 and more importantly for writing season. DennisKirk.com to check out over 185,000 parts, apparel, and accessories for motorcycles, ATVs, UTVs, dirt bikes, snowmobiles, and much more. Same day shipping on all orders placed before 8 p.m. Central Time and free shipping on orders over $89. You can also use the Ride Finder tool to enter your make, model, and year and find parts that will exactly fit or close enough in an instant. DennisKirk.com. Okay, let's start with, we usually start with your favorite current Twins thing. They don't deserve that at this point. So let's start with your least favorite current Twins thing, Declan.
There's too many bad eggs in this lineup. There's far too many bad eggs in this lineup to overcome. And with injuries to obviously Lewis and Correa, and they're going to get Kepler back today. He'll likely be in the starting lineup for Monday for game one against the White Sox. There's a lot of bad eggs in this lineup. Willie Castro should not be hitting every day, but he has to play short. Kyle Farmer is just off to one of the most atrocious starts in baseball. If you go to Baseball Savant, if you look at just about every single meaningful category when it comes to hitting outside of taking walks, he is one of the worst hitters in baseball. And he's hitting eighth and ninth. You know, he's not hitting towards the top of the order, but that's not good. Christian Vasquez is also hitting at the bottom of the order, but he's a catcher. I mean, someone has to catch too, so you can't really blame him too much. And this is where, by the way, I'm going to pat myself on the back. Because once Lewis and Correa come back, Byron Buxton can't be near the top of this order. He can't. He absolutely cannot be near the top of the order.
He has no home runs so far.
He can play elite defense, which is great. I mean, the defense is back. And honestly, I think he's played every game, but maybe one this year. His availability has been phenomenal. That bat can't be near the first four or five spots in a batting order. It can't. It's got to be sixth. It's got to be seventh. He cannot bat near the top of the order. He can play elite defense, and that can make up for some of the deficiencies at the plate. But at the same time, you can't bat that guy fourth or fifth once this team becomes full strength. You just can't do it.
So I found the Twins wins above replacement rankings on Baseball Reference. And to your point about Buxton, so he has been atrocious offensively. No home runs, one walk drawn too, so he's not getting on base. But his defense at least has him as a replacement level player still. Just like his defense alone, his glove alone, his legs are what's sort of making him valuable still. The Twins currently have six position players that are below replacement level. And it's early. We're still a month sample size, but it's really bad. Like Kyle Farmer is worth negative 0.3 wins above replacement. Their best position player has been Ryan Jeffers, just with the defensive value that he brings at catcher. And then Edward Julian Kirloff, but it's bad. And replacement level, meaning over the course of a season, you could just put like a quad A level minor league guy in and he would be better than players that are below replacement level. Mm-hmm. Margot is in that bin too. Margot looks really rough.
He's also not as good in the corner outfield spots as I expected.
And he shouldn't be. He's 29, man. Like he should not be cooked at the plate or anywhere.
His career arc does not explain this. Like he shouldn't be going off a cliff, but I've just been flat out defensively or fielding. I haven't been that impressed. And I thought that he'd be at least solid in the outfield. He's misplayed a few balls. It's just weird. Anyway,
all right, Judd, your least favorite Twins thing.
I'm going to go after one guy in particular, cause I think it's done. I think it's done. And I think we've talked about, as Dex and you just did, Phil, about guys, you know, Castro is struggling, but he's really a backup. Like he shouldn't be playing this much. Kyle Farmer is a backup. Now, there's a case to be made at 33. He might be done as well, but I don't know about that. It's time to end the Carlos Santana experiment.
Wow.
He's 38 years old in 17 games. So it's 17 games. He's slashing 133, 224, 150. That's right. The OPS is 374. He has no home runs. He's driven in two runs. And here's why I think it's time to use those terms DFA. Because, okay, let's say he gets hot. How long are you going to wait? And Alex Kirilloff is off to a good enough start. Like, I want to see more. And it feels like they're trying to force his way in. And if Santana was playing well, I'd be like, okay, cool. Good veteran in place. He's 38, though, at this point in time. And let me draw a parallel here. And my question becomes, Derek Falvey, how long are you going to wait to do this? I was pissed off enough last night. I got home and actually made some notes. And I mentioned this to Dex in the press box. 2006 Twins, okay?
Yeah.
Also started off as a dead-ass team, a befuddled team. If you guys recall, Tony Bautista at the age of 32 was playing third base, and Juan Castro at the age of 34 was playing shortstop. And that team was very, first of all, they didn't play well, but second of all, it sort of had this same like dead feeling, and you're like, this team shouldn't be this bad.
Yeah.
Both of them, well, actually, Bautista was DFA'd in June and released on June 19th, and Castro, who had been signed in November as a free agent, was traded to the Reds on June the 15th, okay? The Twins, with Nick Punto primarily playing third base, so it's not like you found this unbelievable player, but what you found was a sufficient replacement who played well. The Twins were 66-29 after being 24-26 with Bautista.
Yeah.
In the case of the shortstop, where they transitioned to Jason Bartlett, who they called up, the Twins were 67-32 once Bartlett came in. So my point is, on Castro at least, what are we really doing here? Like, are you going to hold on until like July? He might get hot. You have a better replacement.
Santana, you're talking about.
Yes. Sorry, Santana.
Okay.
But what are we doing here in Santana's case? Are you really talking about a guy who you're going to hang on until July, for instance, and hope he gets hot? I would rather have Kirilloff playing first base on a consistent basis, because at his age, I think Santana might be just done.
Man, yeah. He's 38, so this was definitely a possibility. I loved this signing when it happened.
Yep,
and
I agree.
I'm still kind of in. It's not May 1st yet, okay. So I'm basically saying, in a week from now, if he hasn't shown signs of life, I'm probably coming. I'd like to give these guys until May 1st. But back to the wins above replacement discussion. He has been worth a full win below replacement level at this point. Yeah. He's just been atrocious. And dude, I think there's a case to be made at some point. If you had a healthy Correa, a healthy Royce Lewis, and a healthy Brooks Lee, which those guys aren't all three going to be healthy for at least two or three more months, to just put Julian at first base and just have young dudes all across your infield, okay, guys who can move, guys who can hit, and then Kirilloff can stay as your DH because he's not a great fielding first baseman. But like, what, it's funny because going into the season, you're like, oh, there's a log jam. This is crazy. Where are you going to put this guy, that guy? And now Willie Castro is playing shortstop for you every day, and Kyle Farmer's taking at bats. And
right.
Yeah, man. Okay, my least favorite Twins thing is the Louis Varland starting pitching experiment.
Yeah,
I was willing to go along with it. Okay, yeah. Like, let's see what happens. All while knowing that this dude is primed to be a high-end reliever. Like, that's his career. He's going to be a flame-throwing high-end. I think he's going to be one of their best relief pitchers for the next 5 years. But they've stuck themselves in this horrible position that they don't have any starting pitching depth, and they just need guys stretched out. So he's going to go, right? Have they announced it? Like, he's for sure getting sent down, right?
Not formally, because, number one, they're going to make the move for Kepler within the next hour or two.
Okay.
And that probably, in my opinion, that involves sending down Camargo, because, like, you're going to swap position for position player. Yep. And then likelihood, so Simeon Woods Richardson's next start is slated for Thursday in St. Paul.
Yeah.
You can obviously push that back and make it Friday against the Angels for the Twins, or the Dobber did throw yesterday and they could actually put the Dobber in as well. So there's options, but I don't think they'll announce that Varland option until they kind of have to. But okay. I don't envision him being the starter, by the way, on Friday in Los Angeles.
Here's how things are going for Louis Varland. And again, I believe that he has a high-end future as a relief pitcher, so I don't want to clown on him here. But of all the qualified starting pitchers so far, which, by the way, he doesn't even qualify for the innings for like the ERA title because he hasn't pitched enough innings despite having made, what, four starts? So of all the qualified starting pitchers and Louis Varland, if you were to put him in here, he has the second highest hard hit percentage against of any starting pitcher in baseball. 47% of batted balls off Louis Varland are considered hard hit baseballs. And how about this one? Of all the fly balls he's given up, he leads the major leagues in home runs per fly ball percentage. This is going to blow your mind. 35% of fly balls that Louis Varland has given up have gone for home runs in his four starts. That's insane. That's more than one in every three fly balls goes over the fence for him so far this year. So, yeah, he probably shouldn't be in this rotation anyway.
And they've talked about how difficult it is, and this has been a problem for the Twins, where you get buried. You get buried by some of these bad starts that have happened with Varland, and I mean, Paddock's on the mound today. That this is a big start for him. But I mean, 19 earned runs for Louis Varland. I mean, you're down 4-0 by the third inning, by the second inning. And then it becomes impossible because now you're just chasing and you're pressing, and it makes life. I mean, those have just been automatic losses. I'm not trying to say Louis Varland's the biggest reason for why this team has gotten off to a slow start. In all four of those starts, for the most part, they haven't stood a chance. Like, those have just been four automatic L's on their season when he has made a start for them. He gave up 2 3-run shots to the Dodgers, but it's the Dodgers, dude. Like, they're gonna rock you. Even though you gave up 2 bad pitches, that's what's going to happen. Like, they're one of the best teams in baseball. So, yeah, those four starts in general, I mean, they never stood a shot. Those were just 4 automatic L's for him, unfortunately. And he's still going to go to St. Paul and probably still be a starter because they're not going to just, like, flip it and make him a reliever tomorrow or when he gets optioned down. But eventually that transition is going to happen, and if he does come back up, it'll be in the bullpen.
The biggest problem I thought on Sunday was this, too, and I think this is part and parcel of him telling Baldelli, I don't know where the ball is going, I feel fine. I think he is so thoroughly now in his own head that it's just and if a kid is like that, that's fine, but I would far prefer, as I told Dex yesterday, I would far prefer that guy then comes out of the bullpen so he doesn't actually know when. Like, it was really, really clear to me that Varland had basically 4 days to amp himself up. And by the time he started, it was just a mess.
Seems like there's a more than one guy on this team that gets in their head and, you know, like.
And it's baseball. Like, well, that happens all the time in baseball.
I told Judd this too. I think there's two types of, like, getting in your head to a degree, like with Varland and the way he, like, just carries himself and walks around. That dude walks up, that dude walks around pissed off that he's off to a bad start. And there's more anger involved. I think with other Twins players, I think there's sometimes more of a nervousness, more of a, what am I doing wrong? I'm just off to a bad start. What can I do? I don't know what the fix is. And I think with Varland, he knows his stuff is mostly there. He just can't execute it. So he's pissed, right? I think there are two different types of being frustrated and being off in your mental game of baseball.
Yeah. He just seems to have, like, the walk. He's got a reliever demeanor.
He's a wrestler. I mean,
exactly. No, he does too. Just come in and shove, get a couple of huge outs.
Snort for 15, 20 pitches and Okay. A quick lap around the room. Mm-hmm. For your favorite current Twins thing.
Bailey Ober. Bailey Ober has figured it out. Bailey Ober has finally figured it out. He got off to just a horrible start, obviously, in Kansas City. Since then, I mean, this dude has been their second best pitcher. Pablo Lopez has had less impressive starts than Bailey Ober. Over the last 3 starts, 17 innings, just 2 earned runs, 16 strikeouts. Was honestly kind of doing a little bit of pitch to contact the first time through the order on Saturday. They were just swinging at everything, and he was getting a ton of fly ball outs. Then he dialed up some strikeouts, but he has put that one start behind him, and he is very much a reliable guy. I don't know if Bailey Ober is going to reach the potential of, like, what Joe Ryan is accomplishing. I don't think it's out of the question, but I don't know if that's his game. I will say, though, the Twins, despite this horrible start that they are on, have 3 very reliable starting pitchers in Pablo Lopez, Joe Ryan,
they do,
and Bailey Ober. They really
Bailey Ober, his first start, he had just a complete disaster, obviously. He had one swinging strike in his first start of the season. He had 13 in that game against Detroit this weekend. Okay.
Austin Martin.
No.
I just like how he plays. I like how he plays. I like the fact, he did hit his first big league home run on Sunday. But more importantly, he just looks like he belongs. His at-bats are really good. He did hit with the bases loaded and one out on Sunday in the first. He did hit a pretty good shot that could have been a 2-run single. Now, it was caught by Casey Mize, the pitcher, so it wasn't. But the fact is, I think of all of the negative things, especially with the lack of offensive punch and production, Yeah. Austin Martin, who, you know, who a year ago at this time was sort of like, is this kid a complete bust? I think he's proven he's got a future here. And it feels like, as Dex was telling me in the press box, Rocco really likes him.
Yeah.
And, you know, that to me is a positive. I don't know where he's going to slot in eventually, but it feels like he's got a role here. And it also comes off as he's definitely making the most of the opportunity.
Well, he can play infield, like, right? Yeah. I mean, if you need him, could he, as you sit here and wait, this is where, could you get creative in some way? You're probably not moving Julian off second base, but right. Austin Martin has played second base. Could, if you're going to say goodbye to Carlos Santana, could you move Julian to first base and put Austin Martin at second base in, with Kepler coming back? They got to get creative here,
right,
I guess.
Right, right now, I'm okay with anything you're saying.
Yeah. But you're like the 06 thing. Now, that team eventually was super healthy and talented and whatever. But, you know, Nick Punto jumps in, and every other year, Nick Punto was really good. He had like three really good seasons with the Twins and then two, three unplayable seasons. But he was one of the most valuable players on that team because he comes in, locks it down defensively at third base. He hits enough, gets on base, you know, and their identity became great defense and speed on the base paths and keep it moving that
and
way.
And gave him a spark. Like, it just gave him a spark. Like, the left side of the infield with the veterans just felt dead. Yeah. And those two guys came in and sparked him. And to Declan's point, too, and it's a good one, it would be a shame to waste a really good season from three starters.
Yeah.
Like, if the starting rotation just sucked, it'd be like, okay, curtains. But if three guys are going to shove, first of all, that's not too bad. Second of all, there's got to be something, and it's why on my evening Judd, I said, your move, Derek Falvey, there's got to be something here that's done. Like, you can't just watch this and say, well, guys are going to come back eventually. Because by the time they come back, it might be too damn late.
They need to be proactive and just try and spark something. Yep. Okay, my favorite current Twins thing is the White Sox are coming to town.
Yeah, they're written down.
The White Sox, it's so bad. Oh. It is so bad. So they're 3-18 to start the season. They have a minus 71 run differential, which is, dude, after 1 month to have a minus 71 run. And if my counting is right, they've been shut out 7 times in 21 games. They've been shut out 1 in every 3 games so far this year. So if you can't take 3 out of 4 here, this is part of, we're going back, the 9-4 plan from last week. Well, they're already 1-2 over these 13 games. Yep. You got to make one up here. Go sweep the White Sox. Go take 3 out of 4. If all of a sudden now you're 2-2, this is where it's a long season, but you can lose it. And they already kind of have, like, you got to start winning these games against the White Sox. And this is the easiest part of your schedule right now. You need to be closer to 500 in a week and a half. And it starts with the White Sox the next 4 days.
I mean, everyone every year always mocks the Guardians. The Guardians, I believe, have the best winning percentage in the American League right now.
16-6.
Yeah. Coming into yesterday's game, and everyone mocked the Royals for, oh, look at that 55-win team trying to be a 70-win team. They look decent. They look okay. They look passable. So the Twins, yeah, they have anything less, a 3 out of 4 against, at least in the first 4-game set, against the White Sox is a massive disappointment.
Yeah.
Massive disappointment.
So, all right, there's your state of the Twins here, your Twins vibe check, some injury updates. And if you're not already following Dex's tweets on Twitter, it's literally at Dex's tweets and the extra innings episodes he's doing. We've got our beat Potter on the ground at Target Field here. Busy week in Score Northville. Twins are at home. You got the Timberwolves. We got Flagrant Howls. We're going to record another episode today, and then obviously it's draft week on Purple Daily and the draft party at the Fillmore. So thank you guys for supporting all of our podcasts here at Score North. We'll see you for Trevor Plouffe Tuesday tomorrow.